Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to April 2022, episode 222, The Clinton Crime Family. If you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible gold and silver, talk to our sponsor, Wise Wolf. Get in the Wolf Pack Auto Buy Program at www.macroaggressions.gold. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Odyssey, Rockfin, or Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate all of your amazing and continued support. We know you have a million options out there. Hey, speaking of Iconic, they've got a new offer where they'll give you a 10-day free subscription. You can just try it out if you want. I put a link in the show notes for you to go through my little link there so you can try before you buy. It's like Netflix for the alternative media. They're doing amazing stuff there. They've been a home for Macroaggression since our show started and pretty much since Iconic started as well. So we love them. We support them fully. And if you're interested in checking out what they're doing over there, take a look at that link, health and wellness stuff, all of David Icke's archives, of course, but they're doing new movies. They're doing documentary series. There's amazing stuff there. I've done a couple, I've been a part of a couple documentaries that Rich Willett has directed that are found over there. So look, it's a good place to at least check out. And thanks so much to our amazing sponsors. We've got True Hemp Science. They've been great. Look, if you need CBD and you're not sure where to go, they're making the best hemp-based CBD out there. It's a little operation in Austin, Texas. We love them. They sent me some products, makes my shoulder work better, so I love them for that. If you're interested, you can go over there. And if you spend $65 or more, they're going to send you a free bottle of their number 81 distillate, which is a $26 value. They've got free shipping on anything over $150. So on your way out, use the promo code MACRO or go to their website landing page for us. TrueHempScience.com/macroaggressions. Just read up and see if it's right for you. Also, listen, we are about to enter the zombie apocalypse. I'm almost positive. I'm pretty sure we're getting there. Based on what I've been seeing online, it doesn't look good. You might not want to go in empty-handed. You might want to think about getting yourself prepared in advance. And if you are so inclined, My Patriot Supply has designed a webpage for us called Prepare with Macroaggressions, where you can go take a look at all the products that they have available. 4 weeks supply of food, 3 months supply of food. I've got several buckets of food from them. I am not messing around. I don't want to get into it with people when the shit hits the fan. I want to know that I have everything already taken care of well in advance. I don't want to be fighting zombies in aisle four. So, and I'm sure you don't either. So let's be proactive. Let's think about this stuff. Let's take decisive action well in advance before supply chain issues hamper us, before the maniacs start to figure it out and they get go to the grocery store and there's a food run. You don't want to deal with any of that. Go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. See if there's anything that's right for you. At the very least, on your next couple trips to the grocery store, buy some extra food, keep it stored someplace safe so that you've got it in case you're going to need it. Because I don't like to think that we're going to need it, but unfortunately, I believe that we are. It's that dire of a circumstance out there. And look, it's better to be a month or two early than a day or two late on this. So enough of that. Enough of that sad topic. Let's talk about something cheery, like the Clintons. Oh, you know, it's funny because I haven't done a real takedown of the Clintons on this show really ever, I think. I mean, they are always a topic of discussion, but as far as like just focusing an entire episode on them, I haven't done it. You know, maybe because I don't want to end up dead. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think that I am a big enough fish to bother them, but I do. I am only half joking because you know that they do have the Clinton kill list. And I know that the normies out there want to go, okay, that's a bridge too far. You guys have really gone overboard now. Now you're accusing the Clinton family of being bloodthirsty murderers. You guys need to stop with that. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, look, I'm going to say something in as simple terms as I can. If what you know about the Clinton family is what you saw on your nightly news, then you don't know anything about them. And you can be dismissive about a Clinton kill sheet, a kill list, if you choose to, because you're probably not going to be on it. But it's very real for the people that crossed them, that wound up with two bullets in the back of their head, and then their favorite coroner in Arkansas saying, well, it looks like suicide to me. I mean, how many of those things do you need to see? How many plane crashes do you need to see? How many people do you know in your life that have committed suicide? Do you know 35? Probably not. Clintons do. All kinds of people connected with the Clintons just up and shoot themselves all the time. Or blow up in planes, and then when they find their body, there's bullet holes in them. Like I said, you can be dismissive of the Clintons if you'd like. And you can call people conspiracy theorists for talking about this stuff if that's what you're into. But if you want to debate me about the Clintons and how dangerous they are, you will lose. Because there's plenty of evidence. It's literally everywhere. You don't have to be Whitney Webb, investigative journalist extraordinaire, to come to the conclusions that the Clinton family is involved with some high-level corruption and murder. It's so obvious that it doesn't require a deep dive, but we're going to take one anyway, because it's important to not be dismissive of who these people are, because they're still around. They're still hanging around. Hillary is trying to rebrand herself as, I guess, not a loser. I don't know. She's trying to rebrand herself as a expert, you know, master. They're doing the master class. Could you imagine, like, how much do you hate your money if you spent it on signing up for the Hillary Clinton master class? Like, take it and just give it to somebody instead. Take it and put it like in a big pile and pour lighter fluid and light it on fire. It's better. That's more of, you get more for a bang for your buck doing that than paying money to hear Hillary Clinton give a masterclass on excelling. What? Seriously? We're going to get into who she was, is, was, talking about her in the past tense. I wish we were talking about Hillary Clinton in the past tense. That's the problem. Did you ever see What About Bob? He's like, he's gone? He's never gone. That's the problem. And Richard Dreyfuss opens the door and then Bob is standing right at the door and he slams the door in his face. She's never gone. She's always right behind the other side of the door. You open the door and it's Hillary fucking Clinton. She's always there with her fish named Gil. So look, I mean, I wish this was What About Bob? Because at least it would be funny, but it's not. It's What About Hillary? And every time I turn on the television, there she is. Like, if she had any sort of self-respect or self-awareness, she would have disappeared long ago. But she doesn't, because she is soulless and is, I think, contractually obligated for eternity. I mean, maybe that's what happens when you sell your soul. But they never let these people off the hook, you understand, right? Henry Kissinger isn't like sitting at the beach. They're always working. They're always plotting on how to destroy this planet, on how to create a one world government. There's no retirement party for Hillary Clinton. No, they don't do that. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about, okay, so where they started and things like that, because I think that when you understand like that the Clintons have always been involved in this, it makes a little bit more sense. It's not like Bill just got kind of roped into this once he was running for president. No. You don't get to the position where you're running for president unless you're fully involved in this cult. And Bill was chosen. You know, he was chosen a long time ago for a variety of reasons. And I think that part of the reason why Bill Clinton was chosen was because he has shown himself to be a soulless husk of a human being who's a rapist, a cocaine trafficker, a cokehead, a pedophile, completely drawn to power, no conscience at all, an intelligent guy who became a Rhodes Scholar. You know, like Cecil Rhodes, Committee of 300, Cecil Rhodes, Committee of 300, Bill Clinton. They don't allow you in the club unless you prove yourself. And the Clintons, say what you will about them, they've proved themselves. They are in the club. Now, there's some rumors about Hillary Clinton, about what is shown on a laptop computer that I can't confirm. So I'm not going to talk about that. I think some people know what I'm talking about. I've never seen the video. I can't confirm it. We don't have to speculate about Hillary Clinton. She's done plenty of stuff on camera that we can talk about. Let's start with her time at Rose Law Firm, right? Where they started in Arkansas. She was, when she left that law firm, the head of the law firm said, and I wish I don't have this quote right in front of me, but it's in my Octopus book. She's talking about how she was this was her boss at the law firm. He was saying that Hillary Clinton was one of three people in his like 40-year career that he refused to write a recommendation letter for because he described her as being one of the most criminal and soulless attorneys that he had ever seen in his entire life, and that she was, by all accounts, a criminal involved in criminal activities who didn't give a shit about the law. I'm paraphrasing, but it was a brutal takedown of her. He was like, I'm not writing a recommendation letter for her. Are you kidding me? Do you know her? She's the worst, you know? So we've got that. We've got her starting at Rose Law Firm. We've got the Whitewater investment situation that they were involved in, which was real estate. We've got cattle futures, which Hillary Clinton got 100x return on her investment in cattle futures. Wink, wink, whatever the fuck that is. Because we know Hillary Clinton's not good at picking cattle futures. So there's something going on there. We have the death of Webster Hubble and Vince Foster tied to her, tied to that law firm. We've got Systematics, which is the Promise software, essentially, that they were involved in. And then that drags in a whole cast of characters, including Robert Maxwell. Gee, I wonder why the Clintons and Ghislaine Maxwell are still friends. I wonder why Ghislaine Maxwell was at Chelsea Clinton's wedding. They're all friends because the Clintons were involved in Systematics, which is the Promise software. Robert Maxwell was involved in that software, selling that software system to countries that had a backdoor in it, that so that the Israelis could spy on these countries through this software system. It's more than likely what wound up getting him killed. It definitely got Danny Casolaro, the author of The Octopus, killed when he was 44. Of course, it ran through my mind that I wrote The Octopus of Global Control when I was 44, hoping that because I didn't focus on the Promise software, that I don't wind up stabbed to death. Oh, I'm sorry, committing suicide by slashing my own wrists in a bathtub a bunch of times, especially when Danny Casolaro was well known to be terrified of blood. And not the type of guy that would kill himself in that way. When you start talking about Promise software, it leads you to the Mossad, which is the Israeli CIA, for lack of a better term. It leads you to the NSA, which is seven times the size of the CIA, even though most people don't really think of the NSA all that much. I guess maybe Snowden made people think about it for a while. And of course, when you talk about Promise software, it leads you to BCCI, which is the Bank for Crooks and Criminals International. It's not the real name for it. That's the name that it was given when it was started by a joint venture between Pakistani gentlemen and the CIA to be used as an international bank for laundering everything, including the CIA's dirty money from the drug trade and other things that the CIA is into. So let's talk about BCCI since we just mentioned it. This was the dirtiest bank in the world. It was started in the 80s. It was closed down in the 90s. It was so criminal that it was like the Bush family was deeply involved in it. You know, they always have like one layer of protection. They go, oh, we didn't start it. Oh, but your best friend started it. Well, yeah, maybe, but we didn't start it. So, but George H.W. Bush deeply involved in this. And of course, you know, before being president, he was the head of the CIA for a long, long time. He was the vice president. He was the president. He's skull and bones. He's one of the worst people in the world of all times. He's the Committee of 300. He's deep. George H.W. Bush, one of a handful of people in the 20th century that was really involved in some of the most devious components of humanity, really. I mean, he was in it. So, this bank was involved in money laundering. It was set up. It's like set up specifically for money laundering. You and I were not going to set up like our personal checking account at BCCI. This was running out, you know, it was an offshore bank running through multiple layers of secrecy. They were involved in narco financing. I mean, again, the Iran-Contra affair was deeply involved with BCCI, using this as the bank that they were laundering money from. Gun running all went through there. Terrorism financing, sex trafficking, all those things run through BCCI. It's the CIA's private bank. That's basically how it worked. Again, the CIA doesn't start it necessarily. They have these Pakistanis that are cut out, start the bank for them. And then, of course, they use it as much as they can. And when it all falls apart, they just pretend like they had nothing to do with it. But Bill Clinton was involved in, you know, he had ties to this bank as well. And of course, he would. He would have ties to this bank because he was deeply involved with Iran-Contra. He was deeply involved in cocaine trafficking through MENA, Arkansas. He was deeply involved in the money laundering of the money that came from the cocaine trafficking through MENA, Arkansas. All of this stuff happened with the allowance of Bill Clinton. And not that Bill, you know, if Bill Clinton had decided he wanted to put a stop to this, Bill Clinton would have been dead. So it's not like he had a choice, but they certainly did pick the right guy for the job. You want to talk, you know, it's important to do what you love in life, right? Bill Clinton found the job for him. He really did. Do what you love. He loves cocaine. Absolutely couldn't get enough coke. Love cocaine. So be a cocaine trafficker. Of course, he loved sexually assaulting women. Become the governor of Arkansas. You can do that while you station police officers outside of the apartment complex to watch out for you while you rape Juanita Broderick and others. He is a rapist on top of all of this. And I'm not using the words alleged rapist either. There's plenty of women that have come forward talking about Bill Clinton raping them. It's no longer, it's not speculation. He's a rapist. But this is what the movie American Maid was about. If you remember that, that was the Tom Cruise movie where he's playing Barry Seal, a pilot flying in drugs to MENA, Arkansas on behalf of the CIA. It gets you into that movie is called Made in America, but that gets you into Sean Atwood's work, writing about that, writing about the boys on the tracks, the kids that were murdered to cover up this drug operation. Real bad shit happening there. Again, all of this through MENA, Arkansas, with the management of the state police and Bill Clinton. None of this happens without him. This is a CIA partnership. This is where Bill Clinton became a made man after he organized this and did what he was told. He was elevated. You see, it doesn't matter. And people might say, well, he and Bush were running against one another. They were enemies. No. They weren't enemies. They were running against each other. H.W. Bush was running for re-election in 92, and Bill Clinton was running for election in 92, and Ross Perot was running for election as well in 92, and he was the one talking about NAFTA and the giant sucking sound that you would hear, which was the sound of all the jobs and factories being sucked out of America by Mexico and others. And so the real enemy in this situation was Ross Perot. The Clintons and the Bushes were partners. They were business partners. They had been working for the better part of a decade as cocaine trafficking partners when Bush was running in deeply involved with the CIA. He then became vice president in 80, technically 81, I guess. And oversaw the drug trade coming into America and its focal point where it was flowing in. Yes, there's obviously the Miami connection. Those are all the guys that were like the rogue dealers. I'm talking about government state sanctioned drug dealing by the CIA. That happened through MENA, Arkansas. And Bill Clinton was the man that was running that operation. That happened all through the 80s when he was governor. And then as a reward for his outstanding service, he was then elevated to become one of the people that is selected for office. And in 1992, Bill Clinton beat George H.W. Bush and became the president. And again, that looks like a battle between the two of them. It's as much of a battle between the two of them as his son, George W. Bush, would later go into battle against John Kerry. Both bonesmen from Yale. Are they really having a fight, or is this pro wrestling? It's pro wrestling. you know, they're really in, they're really saying the things they're saying, much like they're really getting thrown around the ring. And they might really be hurting each other a little bit, but it's not to the extent that we're led to believe. And it's all choreographed, much like wrestling is. So you've got Clinton's and Bush's partnering up with the Iran-Contra, which involves CIA partnership, Barry Seal, the Medellin cartel, Oliver North, plane loads of cocaine, and BCCI. So when you are one of the focal points of that, you can wind up dead like Barry Seal, or you can wind up president like Bill Clinton. It's up to you. We can say what we want about Bill, but he is a smart guy, and he does understand how to navigate this situation, which is the reason why Bill Clinton is still alive and Barry Seal is not. But it also brings you into a new orbit. And if you looked at these operations as a Venn diagram, right, a circle with all these names in it, Clinton, CIA, Barry Seal, Medellin, Ollie North, BCCI, cocaine, all those things. And then you drew another circle next to it for a different topic, Jeffrey Epstein and that group. What you would find is that there would be overlap in this Venn diagram. And where that overlaps is through Bill Clinton. And not just Bill Clinton, but an operation called Southern Air Transport. And this is where you start to get the Venn diagram intersection when you're talking about MENA, Arkansas, airplanes, cocaine, and the CIA. You wind up picking up additional bad guys into this circle. And if you run back the clock to Vietnam, pre-Ollie North, pre-Iran-Contra, what you find is there was a group called Air America. They made a movie about Air America, too. And Air America was flying things in and out of Vietnam. And one of the things that they were doing is they were using an Air Force, and I don't mean a military Air Force, I mean a group of planes, part of a group called Southern Air Transport. It's like the CIA's Air Force of passenger jets, cargo jets, and things like that. They're not fighter jets, they're not bombers, they're anything. They're commercial jets. Now, the thing about what Southern Air Transport was doing in Vietnam was that they were flying out cocaine in these airplanes. They were trafficking cocaine. They were flying them out in a variety of different ways. Some ways they were packed into the bodies of American service members that were coming home from Vietnam. If you can think about how absolutely reprehensible and disgusting that is, that's a tactic that they were using. But the CIA was also just flying it out in these planes. And one of the components of these planes that are very unique and unusual is that the planes are 727s. 727s have rear deploying staircases that come out of the butt of the airplane. Not just like we've talked about this before, not just when you bring up, like, if you park a plane at, say, a less modern airplane or airport, and it doesn't connect to the jet bridge that connects you to inside the airport itself. Sometimes they have these rolling staircases that just are pushed up or driven up to the front of the airplane. You go up those stairs, you get into the plane, and when you come off the plane, you come down, and then you're on the tarmac, and then they guide you in, walk you into the airport that way. That's how it is at a lot of airports. If you've been to big, big modern airports, it's not like that. But if you've been to smaller regional or rural ones, that's how it is a lot of times. Now, on these airplanes, these 727s, they had their own staircase in the back that would fold down. So you could go out of the front or you could go out of the back of the airplane. Just sort of an unusual feature. But what's interesting about that is that the rear staircase could be deployed during flight. and it could be deployed as long as you were below 10,000 feet. If you were, it wouldn't depressurize the entire cabin. I'm not sure about all of the physics behind it. I just know that that's the way the planes are designed. So what it means is that these planes can be used to throw things out of in flight. You can throw boxes of cocaine. You can throw boxes of weapons. You can throw people out. Now, 727s are old airplanes. They're mostly 50 years old, but there is a common thread between all of these well, not all of them, but there's a common thread, and that is that guys like Jeffrey Epstein had a 727. Peter Nygaard had a 727, and also Donald Trump had one too. I'm not suggesting Donald Trump was throwing things out of his, but he had one. And considering these are rich guys that can buy Gulfstreams that are $30 to $65 million a pop, and these 727s are bigger and more affordable, I don't know. It doesn't seem like these guys were price sensitive. Why did they want these old airplanes? Well, they wanted them for a reason. And Southern Air Transport was deeply involved in this, in Air America. So they used these airplanes. Then as we get into the 80s, Southern Air Transport is still operational, even though people like, no, it's a CIA front company. But then it gets bought. It gets bought and relocated to Columbus, Ohio. And who buys it? Les Wexner buys it. So now you've got Les Wexner involved in the CIA's cargo trafficking plane operation. Relocates it from Miami or South Florida. I don't know if it was exactly Miami, but it was South Florida. It moves it to Columbus, Ohio. Now, Les Wexner, owner of Limited Brands, and he picks up the route from Hong Kong to Columbus. To be fair, nothing necessarily nefarious there. He's in the clothing importation business. They're coming from Asia. That makes sense. But considering Les Wexner and what he's into, running, you know, being a co-founder of the Mega Group and deeply involved in sex trafficking through Epstein and guys like that, then I have questions about his choice in airplanes. But this is where you get Bill Clinton showing up again in this, through his ties to Epstein, through his ties to Wexner. And Wexner's being a co-founder of the Mega Group, it brings you into Adnan Khashoggi, who is one of like a legendary weapons arms dealer, uncle of Jamal Khashoggi, who got put through the meat grinder by the Saudis. Again, Bill Clinton shows up in this all the time. Then we've got Jeffrey Epstein and the 26 times that Clinton wound up on his flight. So that's not normal. Okay. You're not supposed to be showing up on the flight logs of a really well-known, maybe even the best known child predator trafficker, unless you're involved in some bad stuff yourself. 26, one time, maybe one time you missed your flight. You couldn't get whatever. I mean, maybe one time I might be willing to. There'd have to be a great explanation for it. But I'd be willing to listen if it was one time and you had a great explanation. If you've been on Jeffrey Epstein's flight 26 times, I'm not interested in your explanation. I know what you're doing. Ditching Secret Service to get on that airplane doesn't exactly help your cause either. I'm just saying. If you're trying to spin that as, oh, we were just friends, you know, we like to talk about friends with physics stuff. That's fine if you take your Secret Service detail with you. But if you're ditching them, like Bill Clinton kept doing, not interested in your explanation. Just say you were there to rape girls, rape kids. Just say it, because that's what you were there for, if you're Bill Clinton. We've got Bill Clinton's deep involvement as president. So if he was president from 92 to 2000, And he, one of the things that he did was he created the Omnibus Crime Bill. Now, to be crystal clear, it wasn't all his idea. George H.W. Bush, his partner in the cocaine business, you know, it was his idea. Because when you're running the largest cocaine trafficking empire on the planet, you also need to come up with a concept for the private prison industry so that you can make money on both ends. Because these guys are psychopaths, and that's how they think. So they came up with the idea of the private prison industry. And they knew that the laws that they were going to put forth, this omnibus crime bill, which was created and conceptualized by George H.W. Bush and then put into place by Bill Clinton with the help of Joe Biden in the mid-90s, this really cemented the industry of the private prison complex and all of the disgustingness that comes from that. We had a episode with Dance and Dave from Surviving the System. We talked about the ins and outs of that. It's a stain on humanity that there are private prisons. But the guys that invented them, George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, among others, I'm not trying to say that they were the only ones, but just understand that the people that were at the forefront of creating the private prison industry were simultaneously running the largest cocaine trafficking operation the planet has ever seen. So just know that. And this omnibus crime bill that Bill Clinton put forth, if we're going to talk about what his legacy is, well, it destroyed the black community. It absolutely gutted it. Because of the mandatory minimum sentencing, the changing of drug laws and sentencing mandates for rock cocaine as opposed to powdered cocaine, because rock cocaine was seen as a black drug and powdered cocaine was seen as a white drug. So they wanted disproportionately large prison sentences for people that were possessing rock cocaine, the black community, the poor community, according to them, than the sentencing guidelines for anyone that had powdered cocaine, who's just, you know, on their way to their job at a hedge fund, is doing bumps in the bathroom. They don't want those guys to go to prison for anything. But they want the black community or the poor white trash community or whatever that has the misfortune of fucking around with crack cocaine and gets themselves in a trap. They want those people to not just ruin their lives with a drug addiction, but they want to ruin their lives with incarceration. Obviously, they'll never be able to vote again. They want to destroy society again, because you have to remember who these people are at their core. They're all part of this Committee of 300 whose goal is to depopulate and destroy society. So, of course, this fits with their mentality. So while he's creating the private prison industry, while he's destroying the black community, he's simultaneously pardoning Mark Rich, his Israeli money man. He's pardoning Susan Rosenberg. You know her? She's the head of finance for BLM. She was rotting away in a prison cell doing 60 years for setting off bombs at federal buildings. Bill Clinton pardoned her on his way out of office. So he cares so much about law and order that he created the private prison industry with his psychopaths and friends in law firms and Wall Street and venture capital firms, where they've got all the money to finance all this. He's got all those guys in a position because he cares about justice while he's letting out Israeli grifters and convicted terrorists, who then later go to be the number three person in charge at Black Lives Matter. So Bill Clinton's on top of all of the horrible shit that you can say about him, which is true. He's also a gigantic hypocrite. Not that that matters. I mean, it's like the least of his crimes, but a crime nonetheless. A stain on his character nonetheless. But and don't forget, he pardoned his brother Roger on his way out of the White House too. But that happens. I met Roger Clinton. I bartended right out of college, and Roger Clinton came in and sat at the bar. He was the only guy in the bar. I was in this bar like on a Wednesday night working, and there's nobody there except me and Roger Clinton. We watched an entire basketball game. He was nice. He wasn't trying to put me in a private prison, but I didn't have any issue with him. I knew he liked to party. I was like, hey, you want to... No, I'm just kidding. So the Clintons have, you know, they've partnered with this. This is a tough one because, you know, it takes a certain kind of person to just to steal massive amounts of money and things like that. But you can kind of justify it if it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna, you know, it's Bank of America and I'm running some scam where I'm stealing money from Bank of America. And you're like, Bank of America's got plenty of money and they're an evil globalist banking operation. And it's wrong for me to steal money, but I'm stealing it from bad people. So I can kind of justify it, right? I'm not saying you should do that or that will hold up in a court of law, but I'm just saying I can understand someone's mentality who's like, well, I'm going to steal from the worst corporations out there that have got all this money because fuck them. All right, I get that. Now, think about what the Clintons have done and the Clinton Foundation in their partnership with the United Nations. And we know about the United Nations. They have done the exact opposite of what I suggested. They have stolen from the poorest people in the world. And of course, I'm talking about the population of Haiti. In the aftermath of the earthquake, that there are big questions about the origins of that earthquake, but I'm not going to get into that because I don't have the details of it. I just know that there's a lot of questions about whether or not that earthquake was as organic as it's led to believe. And before you get dismissive about that, just know that they have that technology. So it's not a matter of if that technology exists. The question is, did they use it on Haiti? I don't know. I just know that there's speculation that it was. But regardless of whether it was a natural event or an unnatural event, you never let a good crisis go to waste. Who said that? Oh, yeah, that was Rahm Emanuel, Obama's psychotic chief of staff. And the Clintons, of course, take that sort of philosophy to heart. They never let a good crisis go to waste, which is the reason why they partnered with the United Nations and used their global enslavement vehicle, the Clinton Foundation, to become the tip of the spear in raising money for Haiti. They raised billions of dollars. I think the number that I saw was somewhere over $8 billion was raised for Haiti. Where did it go? Didn't go to Haiti. I think one of the projects I saw said that they were building like, I don't know, the plans were for like thousands of these structures that they were building, and they were like, how's it going? And they're like, well, we've got 8 of them done. And it's like, it's been like 8 years. You guys might want to hire, I mean, I've worked for some builders, you can bring them in, they'll knock out 30 a month. And if you've got billions of dollars, something tells me they could do even more if they needed to. But whatever the numbers are coming back from Haiti as far as what this money has done, it's not good. A lot of that money has just gone missing. You know what else went missing in Haiti? Under the control of the Clinton Foundation? 33 children. And yes, the number was 33. For those of you with ties to Freemasonry, I don't know if that number was, I don't know if it was chosen because it was 33. I just know that that's the number. They just up and vanished. Orphans, you know, orphans from the Haitian earthquake and everything, they vanished. But they caught the person that took them. They caught her. Her name was Laura Silsby. And they put her in jail. And they said, where are you going with these children? She says, I'm taking them. They're orphans. And they said, no, they're not. Their families have been looking for them. Why did you take them? And she said, I'm part of an international rescue campaign. And we were taking them because they were orphans. Now, she sat in a prison cell for, I think, 6 months. Want to know who her call was? Who she made the phone call to get her out of this situation where she was caught with 33 kids that didn't belong to her in a foreign country? She called Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton got her out. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he said. I don't know what he promised or what was given. I don't know the details. I just know that Laura Silsby got out of a Haitian prison because of Bill Clinton. And she was taking trafficked children out of Haiti. I'll tell you, man, if I were Bill Clinton, I'd be like, Laura who? You know? But he didn't do that. He got on a plane, went there, and he got her ass out. You know why? Because it was very important that she get out of prison and they not find out what was going on. So they brought her back to the United States and they gave her a good job. You know what she's in charge of? She's in charge of the Amber Alert system now. The Amber Alert system, for those of you not in America, is the system that's used when kids go missing in America. Just put the child trafficker who got busted stealing 33 kids out of Haiti in charge of the Amber Alert system that looks after lost kids. Thanks, Bill Clinton. So, again, I'm not saying Bill Clinton was trying to remove 33 kids from Haiti. I'm just saying that the Clinton Foundation was the point man on that operation. And when the person that did get arrested trafficking the kids got their phone call, they called Bill Clinton. And Bill got them out. So if there's a whole Three's Company style misunderstanding that I'm just missing, that really she was taking the 33 kids down to the Regal Beagle and she and Chrissy forgot to give the message to Jack and all, I'd love to hear it. Something tells me there's no Regal Beagle in this story. After Hillary Clinton lost the 2026 presidential election to Donald Trump, an embarrassment of epic proportions, especially when you handpick the guy to be your opponent. So, because you think you can curb stomp him, and then you've got your Maggie Habermans of the world writing puff pieces for you that you can contact in the media, and you still lose to Donnie Tiny Hands, the clown emperor. You become the joke of politics, which of course is what Hillary Clinton has become. But I'd like for people to understand one thing about Hillary Clinton losing the presidency. And I ask you, if this does not sound a tiny bit suspicious to you, the day after she lost the election, and I mean the next day, the Clinton Global Initiative Charity Foundation shut its doors. Closed. Not the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative. There's a difference. It's a charity group. You know what they do? They go around the world fixing problems. You know, there's all these problems in the world, but the Clinton Global Initiative goes around the globe, you know, with their initiatives, fixing all the problems. But guess what? When Donald Trump won, apparently, and I can't confirm this, but apparently the following day, all the problems in the world just fixed themselves. And the Clinton Global Initiative was no longer needed, so they closed their doors. Not at all suspicious or anything. Not at all an influence peddling racket that just went out of business because their candidate lost or anything like that. It's totally, totally not an influence peddling racket that just shut its door the day after they lost the election or anything. Honk. Like, give it a month. You know, like, don't make it look so obvious. But then again, this is the group that just puts bombs in airplanes and blows their guys up. They blew up Ron Brown in Croatia. You know, I mean, they don't give a fuck, I guess. You don't know about the Ron Brown thing? Ron Brown, Clinton's Secretary of Commerce under Bill Clinton, was out running an extortion racket for Bill Clinton, a shakedown operation. Nice country you have here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. Should consider giving to the Clinton Foundation. You know, he's their international bagman. That's who Ron Brown was. Past tense, Ron Brown. you know, it's donate to the Clintons or something bad might happen. Nice flower shop you have here. It'd be a shame if someone burned it down. You know how this stuff works, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be laid out in a contract or anything like that. But that's how this stuff works. But Ron Brown had a bad feeling about working for the Clintons because he knew what happened. He knew what happened to a lot of those guys that got close to him. They wound up, you know, going to take the trash out and then shooting themselves in the head twice. You know, those sorts of things. Well, Ron Brown's plane was, they manipulated the electronics in it and sent that plane. They messed with the beacons of where the airports were, and they put a beacon where it shouldn't be on the side of a mountain. Ron Brown's plane flew into that mountain, killed everybody on it. When they went and found, when they did the autopsy on Ron Brown, he had a bullet hole in his head already. I'm sure that was just an accident. Oh, all the witnesses that saw the plane, and they wound up dead too. But again, just a coincidence. So we've got the Clinton Global Initiative shutting down literally the day after Hillary loses the election. But what about the other stuff that I mentioned? Mark Rich. Mark Rich was he ran a company called Glencore, which is a mining giant, Israeli controlled mining giant, working with dictators. You know, if there's some country that like the United States slaps sanctions on and says nobody can work with them, Glencore will go work with them. They don't give a fuck. And BCCI lent Glencore tens of millions of dollars back in the 80s, you know, and Mark Rich has ties to the mega group and, you know, stuff like that. And if you remember, you might not remember Mark Rich's name. Do you remember Denise Rich? That was his wife, Denise Rich. She was helping with the Clinton Library. You remember that? Denise Rich, Clinton Library. Yeah, I mean, they were donating money like crazy to the Clinton Library. And then what do you know? Her husband gets let out of prison. And of course, he has massive ties to Israeli intelligence and the like. Ties to Epstein. You know, it's that big club thing. It's got dubious Chinese partnerships. All that stuff. So that's Bill Clinton while he was in office. What about Hillary? What did Hillary do when she was Secretary of State? Well, when talking about Julian Assange, she asked, can't we just drone this guy? That to me is, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, but it sounds to me like conspiracy to commit murder when you're in a position like her. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't fit the legal classification of that. I don't know. Not that it matters, because they're never going to get charged with any of this stuff anyway. But we've got the Julian Assange threats of drone striking him. We've got the Gaddafi. We came, we saw he died. Cackle, cackle, cackle. So she's admitting to that. So, you know, Hillary is a deeply flawed psychopath in her own right, of course. We know about, oh, I forgot to mention this. When talking about the Clinton Global Initiative, the organization that Hillary shut down the day after the election, there's 50 people connected to CGI that were convicted of influence peddling, but never the Clintons, though. I mean, could you imagine having like 50 people tied to your organization that all go to prison for influence peddling? And they're like, oh, there's nothing going on with this organization. And then the day after she loses the election, she shuts it down. Probably for the best anyway, right? So what are we talking about with her? Well, we're talking about Whitewater. She was involved in that. That's 230 acres of land that they were going to build vacation home lots on. Interest rates went up. The deal went bust. there's a bunch of people involved in savings and loan scandals, McDougal bank fraud. A bunch of people went to jail. They were mad at the Clintons, but you know, nothing ever happens to the Clintons. Vince Foster commits suicide. Some, you know, which was totally sketchy. Body was moved, all that shit. So he was their Whitewater. He was their lawyer. I mean, look, every time somebody in Arkansas that had ties to the Clintons wound up dead, they put the same coroner on it. And then that coroner would always say, well, it looks like a suicide to me, or it looks like something different than what the obvious is, which is this person was murdered, or this person, you know, was killed and made to look like a suicide or whatever. The Clintons had tax issues. They said that they were broke. They weren't. There was issues of them illegally moving money from businesses to personal accounts and back and forth. And all these lawyers that were involved with them were getting, were definitely being investigated for a lot of stuff. And then they would turn up dead. But there's a lot of that. A lot of people with information about the Clintons that turn up dead as well. I mean, what about Seth Rich? What about this guy? Well, they say it was a robbery, except it was the worst robbery in the history of robberies because they didn't take his watch. They didn't take his cell phone. They didn't take his wallet. They didn't take his jewelry. They didn't take the things of value that you would take during a robbery. It was a robbery in which they robbed him of, I don't know, maybe a thumb drive, some information on it. Maybe there technically was a robbery there. But when Hillary Clinton is involved and this guy apparently has the dirt on her, you know what happens when you mess with the Clintons, correct? They will come for you. They will make it look like a suicide or an accident or whatever. You know, you've got some of the things. I don't know. I don't know if you want to directly lay this on Bill Clinton, but Waco, you know, I mean, I have to put Bill Clinton in that category. I understand that there were other people involved in the decision as well, but it's a very Bill Clinton thing. I mentioned Juanita Broderick. What about Jennifer Flowers? What about all the women that Clinton raped? What about all of them that got the shit beat out of them by him? He's a savage, man. I think people forget about that, you know, especially now. I think a lot of people are like, they feel sorry for Bill because he's got to, you know, he's stuck with Hillary. Don't feel so. I mean, I get it. It's kind of a joke. You know, I would feel sorry for Bill too, but don't let that little old man act fool you. Bill Clinton's a stone cold psychopath, the highest order. Brilliant guy too. You know, you become a Rhodes Scholar for a variety of reasons. One, you've got to have the intellectual horsepower to do that. Can't be a dummy. But then they mold you. Cecil Rhodes, man, you know, he was involved in the diamond mining and the gold mining and the Rhodesia and South Africa and all of that. He was a Rothschild agent. He was a colonizer, member of the Committee of 300, involved in world government. And you bring in people like Bill Clinton and Rachel Maddow. She's a Rhodes Scholar too. And you mold them into the agents that you want them to be. And then you put them in positions where they can network with some of your other psychopathic friends, like Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein and all of these people. What about the business dealings of the Clintons? They've got some shell companies. The Bush Clinton Katrina Fund. How much money do you think went missing through the Bush Clinton Katrina Fund? I'm going to guess all of it. Maybe not all of it. I got to leave something in there. My guess is as much of the money as they could steal, they stole it. Clinton Climate Initiative. Oh my God. You want to take two sketchy things and put them together, the Clintons and the Climate Initiative, and you have Scam City. The Clinton Foundation, which we know, and Charles Ortel has called the largest charity fraud organization in the history of the world. That he has identified over $100 billion that the Clintons have stolen through the Clinton Foundation. Here's another one. I'm sure this organization is completely on the up and up. Clinton Foundation HIV AIDS Initiative. Trust the science. Clinton Justra Sustainable Growth Initiative. Frank Justra is a Canadian scumbag. So they're doing international partnerships for sustainability, you know, because the Clintons are super concerned about saving the planet as they murder everybody on the planet. And they are 50% owners, the Clintons are, in the shell company called the Haiti Development Fund. I just wonder what it was they used those funds for. Because the Clinton Foundation in 1 year spent $34.8 million on salaries. Really? Who did you hire? LeBron James and Alex Rodriguez? $34.8 million on salaries? You guys are supposed to be a charity. $8 million in travel? This is 1 year. I'm assuming that they're, chartering the space shuttle or something. Like, oh, gotta get to Miami in 4 minutes. $12 million on meetings. And by meetings, I think we all know that that means pedophile parties with hot dogs and walnut sauce and God knows what else. And then another $91.3 million in fees and expenses, which I assume means blowjobs for Bill. I mean, I think that's reasonable. So like, what are they doing? What's the Clinton Foundation doing with all this money? You've got $91 million for fees and expenses, another $35 million in salaries, and another $20 million in travel and meetings. It's a fraud. This is why Charles Ortel calls it the largest criminal fraud organization in the world. Because it is. It's a shakedown racket that they've been using for a long, long time. All these foundations, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, be very suspicious and careful of these because they're just investment vehicles that shields them from a tremendous amount of liability exposure and things like that. It hides a lot of the partnerships that they're involved with, and it's a tax-free foundation. So, you know, this is how you get around paying all those pesky taxes and things like that. So look, the Clintons are a dangerous organization. I mean, it's beyond just the two of them at this point. You know, it's an organization. I think that if you were to have an actual investigation, you would find that the Clinton Foundation is knee deep in some horrendous things. And Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, if we were living in a decent and honest world, they would die in prison for what they've done. You can ask the Secret Service that managed Hillary when Bill was president what they thought of her. They've been very open about their hatred of her. Not that that means anything. She's an unlikable person who has serious physical limitations. We saw that on September 11th, 2016, of her at the 9/11 memorial getting dragged into the van because she couldn't make it physically. Plenty of reports of her being on the campaign trail against Donald Trump, being wheelchaired everywhere she went because she couldn't walk. There's big problems with her. She's got physical problems to go along with her psychopathy, of course, her narcissistic personality disorder, and all of the like. So just be very careful about the Clintons. And this is not meant to say that this is, you know, that this brand of insanity is limited to the Democratic Party or anything like this. As you know, once you get to these higher levels, the Democrats and Republicans are all blended together. It's all one big club. This is not not meant to be a right versus left sort of thing. This is a world government operation. The Clintons have been important in this. They both come from the same line of thinking, which is that the ends justify the means. And if there's something that can definitely be said about the Clintons, is that they are one of the most dangerous crime families out there. Hey, if you like this episode, you can share it with your friends and family. I've got three books that are out. You can find those at Amazon, also available on my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions, and I will talk to you all soon.